democracy if we don't want to help and defend our democracy. I really think that we ought to be more positive in pushing through this resolution and helping in our national defense picture.
Representative Liska.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just can't imagine any opposition to a type of resolution of this nature. Representative Phillips and I probably have the two largest military bases in the state, Elmendorf Air Force Base and Fort Richardson. And I can't say anything bad about those military boys there and the women, because they're good neighbors to the Anchorage community. I had the occasion back in the early 60s to tour Alaska with the commanding general of the Army Special Forces. And I recall flying across from Elmendorf to Kotzebue, and the general looked out of the window and he said, "Boy, what a tremendous training area." I said, "It sure is, General. Alaska is probably one of the toughest training areas for any military force that you could muster anywhere to utilize. That's why we have our military forces to train to the maximum. Anybody that can qualify to be trained to a soldier in Alaska could fight anywhere in the world. I did quite a few maneuvers throughout the state of Alaska, too, from King Salmon to Stevens Village, the Kotzebue area. And I can assure you, this is a tough country to train in. I think a 10,000-man force, if we're lucky enough to get them up here, would be a welcome addition to our force. And the previous speaker mentioned here about our good neighbors, the military. How many of you can think back to the Good Friday earthquake in 1964? I can assure you, in Anchorage area, if we didn't have the military there, they would have been hurting a lot worse than they were. I don't see nothing good coming from an infantry division or any military force of this size coming into the state, and I urge all members to consider these and vote for this resolution. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Grusendorf.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm hesitant about speaking twice on the same subject, but the majority leader did bring up several points which basically misconstrued what I was trying to get across. The military in Alaska definitely has contributed, and the military that is in Alaska is appreciated. However, we have to remember that this particular idea came from our senior senator in Washington, D.C., offering the state of Alaska as a option for a chance to place 10,000 personnel. Now, when you start counting the number of people that are tied in with 10,000 people coming to this area, and the effects that I have, I used as my comments things that were very obvious, trying to touch a sensitive nerve. And I'm sure the majority leader would take great concern when 10,000 some people start fishing on the Kenai River. And when I start looking at the budgets and the things that I've gone through, everything from permanent fund dividends to the school per capita and things of this nature here, I don't think we've really thought about the ramifications. What this is an invitation for the state of Alaska to be considered. Now, if the United States government said Alaska is a place we'd like to go, it might be a different matter, but we are throwing the doors open saying, here we are, take us, take us. But at the same time, we haven't analyzed the impacts of this. And I'm sure that after we found out what the impacts was, that most of you in your given areas would not like it.
Representative Herman.
Mr. Speaker, through the chair, I have a question to the chairman of the Community and Regional Affairs. He stated that the Congress was only looking at like Delta, Fairbanks, and North Pole. What kind of assurances would we have that the light infantry would be at those places? Because on line 28 it says 10,000 man light infantry in Alaska.
Representative Miller.
To the representative from NACNAC, it's been pretty much stated by that by the Armed Services Committee of the United States Senate. They're looking at 8 bases nationwide, with 3 of them being in Alaska, those 3 bases being Fort Greely, Fort Wainwright, and Fort Richardson. Thank you.
Representative Davis.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't think my district has had this much interest all year. The division is at least talked about being located at Fort Wainwright, and there is an actual hearing tonight on moving the light division into Fort Wainwright, and I do support this resolution. I think it will greatly impact the district that I represent, and I hope that the same people that support this resolution will perhaps give me support next year when any needed cost for social service programs, various things that might be required by this division being located in my district. But I do support the resolution.
Representative Tischer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate the comments that have been made by the previous speakers because it has helped me to wipe away some of the doubts that I had, one of which was additional schools, perhaps, that this large number of people would require. But it just occurred to me, Mr. Speaker, that, first of all, I know that there are many, many private employment agencies that are putting out the word all over the other parts of the country saying, look at here. Here's a good place to go. There's lots of jobs and so forth. And so we get a lot of people up here that don't have a job to come to. And then they find themselves on the public dole, and we have to take care of them. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to point out to the whole body that these people have jobs. They will not be dependent upon our good nature in support of them. They are going to be supportive of our economy, no matter where they are. And so by virtue of that rationale, Mr. Speaker, I certainly have changed my mind and have no more doubts that we should support this resolution wholeheartedly. Because if there was ever a time that I wanted to support something that added to our economic base, this is it. Some of the things that we have so far deliberated upon during this session, Mr. Speaker, have been the other way around. It's nice to be on top of it for a change. Thank you.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There's been several discussions on this floor today about the military being a drain on the communities that they live in, and nothing could be further from the truth. And certainly nothing could be further from the truth in Alaska than to say that the military is a drain on the social agencies, including the educational facilities in the state. I think that if you will check, you will find every school that military children attend in this state was built by the federal government, not by the state. PL 874 funds provide education for those children. It used to be 100%. It is now based on what we pay for our own children. It used to be, when we calculated the 100%, there was a great deal more money coming into the state than was actually being spent to educate the military children. I know that for a fact because I was involved extensively in the education of military children. And beyond that, I believe that if you went to the community of Anchorage and you said, I'm going to move out the headquarters division, I'm going to move out the headquarters command, and that's a very small unit overall, you would hear considerable screams. The reason why that the people of the community of Anchorage scream is because that those people that make up that command are a considerable asset to the communities that they live in. Not only economically, because the dollars that they're making are not going outside the state, they're staying inside the state, but beyond that, they're also very active in the social programs of the state and very supportive of the communities they live in. And for those that would stand on this floor and lead you otherwise, I would ask them to point to me one instance where that is not true.
Representative Abood.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've been listening to this debate pretty carefully. It appears to me we take those who wish to oppose this, take their freedoms very lightly. We live just a short distance from communist Russia, and let nobody kid you, that is our enemy. If they want to come over here and do something to this pipeline, we're dead. We need our first line of defense right here in Alaska, not in New York, not in Iowa, not any place in the world, but right here. And if you don't think we're the first ones to get it in the neck, if anything goes bananas, you better think it over again. I've been there. I've seen it happen. I don't want it to happen in my country. You talk about people, the social programs. Tell you one thing, Mr. Speaker, if that ever happens, you can kiss your social programs goodbye. And all of the children that go with them, and all of the schools. And what do you think supported this state for years and years? The military. And every time the general sneezed out here, back in the 40s, we shut down the buildings, but to shut down the businesses because we didn't know whether or not we were going to be open or not or sell anything. That's what this town, Anchorage, and all the rest of this state survived on. And you don't want these people to come up here? You don't want to take the money from them that they're going to buy for refrigerators and cars and food and clothes and etc. They're a drag on the market? You better look at your whole card on this. I'm appalled that you would think of this. This falls right into the communist hands. You better understand it.
Representative Winty?
Modestly, Mr. Speaker, I will address the body. There is an impact with the military coming in. There is an impact with the military going out. My district has seen a substantial contingent from the Coast Guard leave my district in Ned Island and in Ketchikan. The result of that has been less coverage and less protection for the fishermen in my area, for the sport fishermen and their boats. And yes, there is an impact when you lose the military. They did leave the Net area. They did shift portions of that force out of Ketchikan and shifted them to Sitka. If the community of Sitka is overwhelmed by military and are not interested in having them, I can assure you my district would welcome them back into District 1, and I would encourage the Coast Guard to consider that.
Representative Davis?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd just like to say again that I support this resolution, and I think that it will be an asset to the Fairbanks community. All I'm saying, and if I wasn't clear before, that I may well need additional services for my district, and I will be requesting those in the future years if I'm here. And the other thing is that I don't think that's necessarily a drain maybe a drain on the state coffers, but they are providing a lot of benefits to being in the state, and I'm certainly not speaking in opposition to that, but I think we need to support the resolution, but we need to look at it and realistically and realize there will be some cost to the additional troops stationed here. Thank you.
Question. Representative Kopanen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think that if we had devoted half the debate or half the effort to retaining the Coast Guard or Naval forces, which are actually the first line of defense for the state and which do perform a continued and needed service at all times, that we have to an infantry, a light infantry unit, I think that we would be in a better position, both economically and defensive posture. Thank you.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall House Joint Resolution 76 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, may lock the roll.
Mr. Liska?
Representative Liska? Clerk, may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
29 yeas, 8 nays.
House Joint Resolution 76 has passed the House. Representative Duncan?
May we have an ease, please?
House, please stand at ease. Next item on today's calendar.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 94, financed by the Finance Committee. An act making special appropriations for capital projects and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Finance has had the bill under consideration, recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 94, financed with the same title, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Adams, Martin, Furness, Lindauer, Grusendorf, Fritz, and Ward. Duncan has no recommendation. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Does the clerk have amendments?
Amendment number 1 by Locker, page 11, lines 10 through 15. Delete all material.
Representative Locker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the amendment and ask for unanimous consent.
There is objection, Representative Locker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As you know,
My office worked considerably last year on a site for a prison, and of course we had first requested that site be in Matsubara, but I do have some background information, and I would like to share it with the body. I'm reading from a study that was done for us where it says that the general requirements for the facility are determined by criteria of the American Correctional Association Standard 4147 and include location within 50 miles of a population centered over 10,000 with access to hospital, courts, and public transportation. This standard is not to be taken lightly. Service support, both from the judicial system and logistical support systems, rise in the cost the further a facility is located from a population center. Examples include care for serious medical problems, psychiatric service support, support from the legal community, goods and services support for operation, maintenance, educational support, service, etc. Siting criteria developed by the Criminal Justice Planning Agency include the size of the site should be 75 to 100 acres with 55 acres developable for the facility and a buffer space. Developable means less than 20% slope with drained soils, not on a floodplain, and suitable for sewage disposal and construction. And, of course, state ownership of the land, Mr. Speaker. I'm saying that this $7.5 million is a political football. We so badly need a maximum security prison, wherever it is. And I understand the latest choice is Seward, and if that is the choice of the administration, that is what we should be supporting here, and we should not be appropriating $7.5 million to make one individual a very wealthy man. It's certainly a poor buy to pay $7.5 million for something that just cost a couple hundred thousand just a few years ago would indicate that it's a very poor buy. I would also like to state that I have here a position paper regarding prisons, and it's the Department of Health and Social Services and the Division of Adult Corrections totally opposes the concept of predetermined building sites for prison facilities. It is imperative that such decisions be made by professional correctional practitioners based on sound criminal justice criteria for site location to ensure that the prison facilities meet standards for programming, security, and safety. Mr. Speaker, I have offered this amendment so that we can recover that $7.5 million and work towards appropriating it for a facility where it is needed. I would like to tell you why Whittier is not the site. Whittier does not have the following essential support services which are absolutely necessary: an adequate fire department, adequate local police, straight troopers, or National Guard, medical and dental care is inadequate, staffing and housing, legal access, private housing is virtually non-existent, and alternatives would be to this a new judge and court staff or a costly rail bus system. There's other reasons. Opportunities for work release for prison industries and other inmate work programs would be extremely limited or non-existent. And lastly, all but the concrete load-bearing walls of the Buckner Building would have to be replaced. Roof, all plumbing, heating, electrical, sewer, medical program, and housing space, all at considerable additional expense. Mr. Speaker, I'm requesting, even though I don't expect to be successful, that this legislature live up to its obligation and remove this $7.5 million from this bill and work towards a correctional facility for the state of Alaska. Thank you.
Representative Flood.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In support of the previous speaker's amendment, I don't think it's any secret that the people of Whittier don't want the prison there. And as the previous speaker has mentioned, they can't adequately house the personnel that's needed to run a prison. Services are limited in Whittier. There's no hospital facilities, and accessibility is limited at best. Plus, we'll have thousands of tourists coming through Whittier in the summer months via cruise ships, and their introduction to Alaska will be our answer to Devil's Island, and I don't think that that's what we want for the people visiting our fine state. The Prince William Sound is a recreational paradise, and we're being asked to mar that beauty for the special interest of one man. Again, Mr. Speaker, the people of Whittier don't want it, and I think our job down here is to listen to all of the people of Alaska, not just one man. So I urge the body to support this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Bettesworth.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Probably being from the interior of Alaska, I could speak probably with the most objectivity on this so-called Whittier jail as anybody. And I don't care who owns the property. The state certainly should buy it at a reasonable price. But if we're really serious about building a security facility, there's no better place in Alaska to do it than Whittier. And to talk about whether one person is going to make a few bucks or not is not the issue. If we can save some dollars for the state of Alaska and provide the facility, then we better do it. And if we do anything less than that, we should all be impeached.
Representative Lindar?
Mr. Speaker, I have a property interest in Whittier, and therefore I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent. Thank you.
Representative Gall?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. With regards to the remarks of the representative behind me, I quite agree. I don't think it's germane as to which individuals might or might not benefit from the sale. However, the Department of Corrections has long been on record opposing this purchase, and their reasons are that it would not be a good site for a prison, that it would be an archaic type of facility, the style of which for prisons has been out of date for many, many, many years. They've worked very hard and long with various communities trying to deal with the problem of site selection as opposed to facility development, but finding a community that would accept them and where the facilities and services necessary to serve such an institution exist. After a very difficult time in Haines, for example, where the community was divided over the issue, and in Whittier, where the community is said to be very much opposed to the issue, apparently they have successfully identified some sites. I believe their number one choice is Seward, but the main point, of course, is that Whittier is neither considered to be the best site, nor is the building considered to be the best building, and there are places which are considered to be adequate sites. So it seems to me that there really is no substantive argument for purchasing this facility for this purpose, and we should delete it from this bill.
Representative Liska.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just recently, yesterday, I talked to Commissioner Endell of Corrections, and he and I mutually agreed that what we need right now is a prison to put these people instead of all this political gobbledygook going on. I had talked to the officials in New Mexico there in regard to their prison system, and they are adamantly of the opinion that you need the prison, a maximum security prison, near your population center. My choice of the whole system of our new maximum security prison would be at Goose Bay. The people at Goose Bay did not want that prison over there. It's the most logical place for it. Then the next thing I knew, it was going to Seward. I understand it's running into opposition down there. You could put that prison right out in the middle of Representative Fleet Mute's district here, and they still wouldn't want it. So the point I'm trying to make, Mr. Speaker, is this. We need a place to put these hardcores. And the longer we debate this thing, we're going to go without a prison. Now, if it's $7.5 million to buy the Buckner Building at Whittier, another $17 million to modify that facility to make it into a fairly large max security prison, to me, it's only common sense. The difference between $27 million and $65 million can buy a whole lot of facilities. So I hope to defeat this amendment.
Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think this probably was a good buy for somebody, but the only other figure that the representative from Eagle River did mention is another $75 million that they predict that they'll have to that'll cost to put the road into the city of Whittier. And we should probably add that to the total.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to discuss the road to Whittier just a little bit, if I could, because I think I do have a little bit of knowledge on that subject. Some years ago, there was another female representative in this body that chaired the Special Committee on Roads and Highways. And one of the things that extensive hearings was held on was access to Whittier. Mr. Speaker, at that time, we went to Whittier. Not only did we go there and look at the existing facilities, but we also looked at the access question. Mr. Speaker, at that time, we were told, and there was a study done, it'd be very simple to access Whittier by putting fans in that tunnel, and beyond that, exhaust fans, and paving the tunnel where you could drive on it or where you could put rail cars on it, automobile rail cars that presently exist. Presently, I have been through that tunnel in a rail car that has just a regular automobile that has wheels like a railroad train does. And it's very easy to do that and to keep access in that tunnel year-round. Beyond that, there should be access built to Whittier, which has nothing to do with putting a prison there. It is our deep water port that is one of the best in the state. We have tourists coming and going through there, as was said by another gentleman. But beyond that, I think that if the prison was there, that it also might be another drawing card for tourists to have a good look at. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
You ready for the question? The question is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 1 to the Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 94? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
17 yeas, 20 nays.
House has failed to adopt Amendment Number 1. Will the clerk please read the next amendment?
Amendment Number 2 by Mr. Kopanen. It starts page 12, lines 20 through 25, and page 13, lines 4 through 7. It has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk.
Representative Kopanen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am not attempting to remove any money from this bill. What I'm attempting to remove is wording which says that this money, $2,100,000 for the Westridge Natural Science Building, will lapse into the general fund if a final contract for construction of building site preparation, utilities hookup, utilidor construction, and power supply not be entered into by September 1st, 1984. Now, if the date were 85, I wouldn't even bother bringing this up. But this bill doesn't have an immediate effective date. The money becomes available in July. That gives us July and August. And knowing any institution, including the University of Alaska, I find it difficult to believe that they can negotiate effective final contracts on site preparation of such a place in that amount of time. Therefore, without an extension of time, this becomes a mere sort of, you know, political flag-waving amount. It does save $2 million to come up again next year if it lapses, but I think we really mean to proceed with this. Thank you.
You ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 2 to the Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 94? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
14 yeas, 23 nays.
Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just as a matter of comment, if I may have just a little liberty, I noticed on the First Amendment I voted yes. It was my intention to vote no. I simply punched the wrong button on that, just for the matter of record.
House has failed to adopt Amendment Number 2. Representative Locker?
Mr. Speaker, is it parliamentary proper for me to reconsider my vote on the amendment in order to hold it over? Thank you.
You could, the motion is always available to rescind our action in failing to adopt it. Clerk, please read Amendment Number 3.
Amendment Number 3 by Vasca. Page 31, line 13, Election District 25, Toksook Bay Airport, $5,100,000.
Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
There is objection. Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, this is not deleting anything from the proposed budget, but adding on something that I think is necessary. Mr. Speaker, Toksook Bay has a small runway like most rural villages. And in this particular instance, we have a particular problem almost any time of the year. The existing runway is very close to the entire village because the village is built on the side of a hill. The runway is not only short, but it's also very close to the residences, and it's also very close to the school, to the high school and to the grade school. I know the cost for replacing the runway is extremely high, but I think, Mr. Speaker, for safety's sake of both the residences in the community and the children at school, they've asked the last 3-4 years that the state move their airport across the small stream that's in front of the village. The problem most of the time is weather. When there's fog or wind, the planes simply don't come in, and they've had a couple of emergencies where the persons who needed the help simply sat there until the winds either changed direction or the fog lifted or the weather became better. Mr. Speaker, a comparison would be if the Anchorage Airport, International Airport, didn't have any fences around it, didn't have any rows, but there were a lot of residences real close to it, and there was no cross runway. That's the closest example that I can think of now. And the people of Toksook Bay are particularly concerned about this and have been asking the state in the last several years, that I've said, for help, and I thought this would be a good time. Thank you.
Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, I just want to make an inquiry to the sponsor of the amendment, and that is, at least the bill I have on page 31, line 13, I have Cooper Landing. Maybe I'm looking at the wrong bill, but it's a House committee substitute for Senate Bill 94.
Representative Phillips, we're working with the Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 94. Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 94.
And that's what I have, Mr. Speaker.
What does it say on the front?
House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 94, Finance.
We're working with the Senate bill, the Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 94. We did not adopt the House Committee substitute. Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 3 to the Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 94? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
8 yeas, 27 nays.
House has failed to adopt Amendment Number 3. Clerk, have further amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes? Excuse me, Representative Szymanski?
Mr. Speaker, we stand at ease, please.
House, please stand at ease.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent the committee substitute for Senate Bill 94, Finance, be considered engrossed. Advance to third reading and placed on final passage.
Object.
There is objection. Representative Malone?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I object for the purpose of a question that might lead to an amendment in I don't know to whom to direct this question, but in reading the legislation, on page 8, line 23 of the bill, and also on page 27, line 9 of the bill, there's an appropriation dealing with right-of-way acquisition for the Whittier Shotgun Cove Road. The item on page 29 is Whittier Shotgun Cove Road Engineering and Right-of-Way Acquisition, and on page 27, line 9, on page page 8, it just speaks of right-of-way acquisition. And the question I have is to whether this is a duplication in the bill, or for some reason that there's an appropriation of a total of $1 million in two separate items. I don't know if someone can answer that. Representative Cato?
Yes, the question's a little bit difficult to answer because it could be a duplication. It could be the fact that DOT has recommended more funds. I requested that $500,000 be put in as a right-of-way through DOT for Shotgun Cove Road. And someone in the other body also put in a request for the same thing. So I'm not really answering your question directly. However, the right-of-way could add up to $1 million.
Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, sort of along the same lines as the representative from the Kenai area, I do have two questions. One, if the representative from the Hillside area can answer this question. On page 8, line 18, on page 9, line 16, there's two separate appropriations going to the same item. I wonder if this is a duplication, or was this intentional, or was this part of one body's allocations versus the others. And then I have another question, as soon as I can get that one answered.
Representative Pestinger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To the representative from Ingle River, I see what you're referring to as far as Glen Alps Limited Road Service area. Could you re-identify the item on number 9 so I can look at it? On
yes,
page
sir.
9.
Okay, on page 8, line 18, and then on page 9, line 16.
Yeah.
The appropriations are different, but it's going to one project. I was just wondering if it's... was this intentional or just happened this way?
Well, we're trying to have a road improvement in that area where the road goes up to the state park, and we're also trying to make an appropriation for maintenance in the area. And although I'm not satisfied with the description, I believe numerically it adds up to provide for the road and the maintenance.
Representative Phillips?
Okay, now that answers that question, Mr. Speaker. On page 9, line 7, I have a question. It's the Knick Arm Crossing north and south approaches of $5 million. I believe $5.022 million has been appropriated in House Bill 691, and that's on page 62, line 9 of that bill. Is this separate, or is this one in the same project?
Representative Martin.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, if I may, on that, the 691, that's federal monies that are contributed to the cost of the program. Most of it.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am concerned that there may very well be duplications in this legislation. I think that's a problem that we can encounter when there are not adequate hearings on a bill, even though the projects might have been under consideration for some time. But I will remove my objection to the motion.
Is there further objection to the motion to advance from second to third reading? Place on final passage.
Yes, I object, Mr. Speaker. I would move that we rescind our action of failing to approve amendment number 1.
Objection. There is objection. Representative, let me ask the clerk to read amendment number 1.
Amendment number 1 by Locker, page 11, lines 10 through 15. Delete all material.
Representative Locker.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would just like the record to indicate the true vote here, and we've already had one representative excuse himself for making a mistake, so we want to be sure the record clearly indicates the vote on this one.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House rescind its action in failing to adopt Amendment Number 1 to the Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 94? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
17 yeas, 19 nays.
House has failed to rescind its action. In failing to adopt amendment number one, is there further objection to the motion to advance the Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 94 from second to third reading and place on final passage? Representative Miller?
Not an objection, just a clarification. You said the House had failed to rescind its action in adopting amendment number one. Well, the motion was only to rescind, not to adopt
right.
The amendment. So, okay.
Okay, thank you for the clarification. Will the clerk please note that? Without objection, the Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 94 is advanced from second to third reading and placed on final passage. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 94, financed by the Finance Committee, an act making special appropriations for capital projects and providing for an effective date.
Representative Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to express just a few comments about the legislation before it's voted on in final passage and express some concerns. Mr. Speaker, I am concerned, of course, that we're moving this quickly on this legislation. We're talking about a major amount of money being appropriated here, well over $200 million, when there's a lot of unanswered questions as to what the total fiscal requirements are going to be for this year's spending plan. For example, Mr. Speaker, we see in the Anchorage Daily News tonight an article about the possibility of another $50 million required for the longevity bonus program. We're not sure whether that's going to happen or whether it's not going to happen. Mr. Speaker, I think I've stood on this floor before and voiced my concern about what I consider a fragmented approach to the budgeting process, where we're sending up bills at various intervals for large amounts of money before we really know what the bottom line is going to be as far as total expenditures for state government goes. There's undoubtedly some good projects in this piece of legislation, Mr. Speaker, but there's undoubtedly some which aren't needed, and the member from Kenai pointed out what probably is a duplication, and we took no action to correct that. Mr. Speaker, we took no action to correct that. We took no action to accept any of the amendments, whether they be to delete unneeded projects or to add a worthy project, such as a member from Bethel proposed. We did not see fit to adopt any of those amendments. Mr. Speaker, that leads me to believe that there's a political commitment. I could use the word political deal, but I'll use the word political commitment among members of the majority not to adopt amendments, not to change this legislation in any way before it's moved on to the governor. Mr. Speaker, when we had a joint session just last week, it was pointed out that there was a political commitment between certain members of this legislature and the governor. It was also pointed out, Mr. Speaker, and I'd like to quote from these comments by the representative from downtown Anchorage, that there is one group in this House, or two groups in this House, and I quote, one group is committed to reducing state spending and one that is not. And in the House, we have one group that is committed to responsible state spending and an end to pork barreling, and one group that is not. And, Mr. Speaker, I add to that, we have one group that's committed to a responsible state spending plan and one that is not. Mr. Speaker, there is a group who has made a political deal on this legislation. There is a group who is not supportive of a responsible state spending plan. There is a group who is not supportive of reducing state spending. And there is a group who is not supportive of ending pork barreling legislation, Mr. Speaker. Members of that group are Representative Mitch Abood, Representative Al Adams, Representative Ramona Barnes, Representative Bob Bedesworth,
Representative Duncan.
I rise to point of order. He, Mr. Speaker, is not reading from a newspaper article, and I'm objecting to him using the members of the on the House floor. And Mr. Speaker, beyond that, when he relinquishes the floor, I'd like very much to comment on his comments.
Representative Duncan, although there were members' names read in the joint session over which I did not preside, since I am presiding over the House, would you please refrain from mentioning members' names on the floor to the extent possible, and I believe there are other ways you can achieve your objective without mentioning specific names.
Mr. Speaker, I can understand the hesitation on the part of the Majority Leader and your coalition to have your names mentioned in that group who are as I described them, so I will not mention that group, Mr. Speaker. But there is another group. There is a group on the floor of this House who is committed to a responsible state spending plan, who is committed to reducing state spending, and who is supportive of ending pork barreling politics. And, Mr. Speaker, with your leave, I won't mention any other group, but that group who is committed to it is Representative Don Clarkson, Representative Mike Davis, Representative Jim Duncan.
Point of order, Mr. Speaker.
State your point, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Barnes. That fine, learned colleague from Juneau is mentioning members' names on the House floor.
Perhaps another way to reach that would be the to mention those, just refer to those names that were mentioned in House Supplement Number 121, corrected.
Okay. Well, Mr. Speaker, I won't mention names. I guess if I was following the script, the next thing would be to move to adjourn. But Mr. Speaker, I'm not following a script, so I won't make that motion. I did want to just voice those concerns of mine. It's not that there aren't very worthwhile projects in this piece of legislation, Mr. Speaker. I do believe it's too early to send that bill to the governor's desk because there are a lot of unmet needs yet in this state. There are a lot of questions that I have and others have about what the level of state spending is going to be this session and what is going to be required. And we have concerns about another $50 million for the longevity bonus program. I think it's unwise for this body to be sending this amount of money to the governor's desk at this time in legislative session. Thank you.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There are days that some people never cease to amaze me. This is one of those days. The learned colleague from Juneau, I think if you'll reflect back on the record, that when these original projects went to the governor's desk and there was several million dollars in it for him, that he didn't think that it was such unwise spending. But after these projects were vetoed and these belong to other areas of the state, of course he feels it's unwise spending. Mr. Speaker, there has been considerable discussion here on this floor about who is responsible in spending and who is not. I think history should speak on that occasion. I remember a time not so long ago when we had a budget bill on this floor. I think the young gentleman from Juneau had something like 44 amendments to raise that budget bill. And all too often, I think that one forgets what their past and what their history is. Certainly, I believe that we have taken into consideration this year not only all of the needs of the state that has to be addressed. We have a plan that clearly lays out how much money is available to spend under the spending limit and the projects that are left unfunded. I believe that the chief executive of this state is very aware of that. I believe that as far back as last November, the chief executive was aware that there would be somewhere in the neighborhood of $900 million to expend for a capital budget. And that, of course, does not include the longevity bonus, which was figured in separately. In addition to that, as was raised by a learned colleague from Juneau. In addition to that, so often we have heard that the major items of legislation has not been addressed, that being the Major Projects Fund, and of course my learned colleague from Juneau and I had considerable debate about the Major Projects Fund on this floor as we have defeated. So that's been addressed. The railroad legislation is moving along and we all have considered the cost of that into the appropriation process this year. I don't believe that there is one item that is presently under discussion that has not been considered in the legislative process and in the appropriation process this year. Since my colleague from Juneau is so concerned about spending and likes to say responsible spending, that he is for fiscal responsibility and holding down the budget, then certainly I can rest assured that when we have the final budget bill on this floor, the operating budget, that relates so directly to his home district, where so many of the state employees are located, that we then, in fact, cannot expect amendments from he and his colleagues to raise that budget in any manner. So we should be able to just bring that budget to the floor, zoom right through it, no problem whatsoever, send it up to the governor's desk, and we won't have to sit here debating a lot of amendments for hours and hours and hours. And I would just like to again remind him, when we had the 7 budget bills on the way to the governor's desk, I should like him to reflect the journal and his voting record on those particular bills.
Representative Lindar?
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to explain to the member from Juneau what we're really trying to do here, and particularly deal with the allegations that this is some kind of a political deal. What this is a political courtesy. Because you see, Mr. Speaker, what happened was a very unfortunate event, a variation of what happened last year has again happened this year, and that is that the governor made a mistake. What the governor did is he thought that he was looking at a list of capital projects that were prioritized. And so he went down so far and he vetoed the rest. And this is what he says. Unfortunately, they weren't prioritized, they were alphabetized. So when he went down and we got down to places like West Northern Lights and other things, unfortunately, he vetoed those. So as a courtesy to the governor, we have put all these things that he apparently has mistakenly vetoed, we put them back in intact so he can have a second shot at it. Now, normally, governors don't need 2 shots at these things, but this particular governor has a problem, and we're going to help him solve the problem by giving him 2 shots, and that's a courtesy. And I'd like to point out to everybody that this is somewhat consistent with what went on last year, because last year, if you remember, the governor took most of his capital, and he used it in his scintillating effort to buy votes for his executive orders. And he used up almost all of his capital, as the members of this body will remember, in miscellaneous projects in certain districts that were never vetoed because they had to buy executive orders, and he got the votes on those executive orders of everybody he provided capital to. Unfortunately, he couldn't count to 21 last year, so his executive orders didn't make it. This year, he had his major projects fund. Same deal went through, apparently made the same kind of arrangements. And this time, he, as you all recall, and as he has admitted in his press conference, he acknowledged that what he did was let certain capital projects for certain representatives go on through, as opposed to meeting the test of whether they were really in the state's best interest. Unfortunately, when he tried to veto the rest, he took them in order, and they were unfortunately alphabetized rather than prioritized. So we have a governor that needs a little courtesy and assistance, and I think that as fine citizens, and because I think once in this entire 2-year legislature, we ought to have him have some capital that stands on its merits instead of in forlorn and lost political efforts, I think that at this one time, we ought to at least let him have 2 chances. Thank you.
Representative Martin.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to be sure, but the gentleman from Juneau said he acknowledged that he reads the paper, and I thought maybe he would take heed to an Alaska headline in Daily News. Alaska is the only state with rising unemployment rate. Now, that's perhaps every place but Juneau, because Juneau got all the projects and even more projects than that won it. I'm sure that he blinked, too, when he saw some of those projects that he put in and that the governor vetoed. They were almost embarrassed, I heard, that he let it go. But anyway, if that's what you say you need, fine. As far as fiscal responsibility, I hope that that's followed through. The gentleman has made a number of motions in other committees pertaining to the operating budget, and I hope that expressions of our majority leaders is of such nature that he will not bring those to the floor. But it had not been for a good, responsible chairman, we would have had a very ultra-liberal budget, and everyone would have been running out, where's the money, except the guy from Juneau, because he knows they can get more someplace. But I hope that we can pass it, mainly because they're in jobs. And you get these jobs on the road right away, we can decrease the budget all the more as far as unemployment and welfare costs. These people don't want to be forcing those lines up in Gamble Street and Anchorage. They want to work. So let's give them an opportunity.
Representative Gall.
I'd just like to remind the last few speakers that the representative from Juneau was highly critical of the original budget process, and I don't think that criticism is something new. And I suggest that we vote on this bill.
Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, I hate to delay this any further, but I do have to say something for the record. If it deals with the Anchorage Solid Waste Disposal site. Now, I know that our community, the Anchorage area, and more particular with me, Eagle River, has a responsibility as being part of the municipality of Anchorage. I have no objections to this appropriation of $3.7 million for a super dump. Unfortunately, the municipality of Anchorage has chosen Highland Road, which is in Eagle River, for the dump, 700 acres. And I might add, it's causing some concern, and I'm putting this very lightly, some concerns of my constituents, particularly ones on Highland Road, about this site. So for the record, I do not oppose the appropriation, but I do oppose the site selection as made by the municipality of Anchorage, and I do hope that other members of the Anchorage delegation will help our Eagle River District 15 delegation in finding another site other than one on Highland Road.
Representative Blocker?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Being as we're taking time to make statements for the record, I would like to say that I was one of the people whose names were read by the majority leader, and I was quite proud of it. And I find myself in quite a quandary. I've sat here for a couple of weeks and heard how there's some important projects in this bill, very necessary, that apparently the governor has made a mistake on. I can vote yes for those and then possibly stand here and listen and be berated later on with, well, she voted for the bill, so she must have made a deal, some sort of a nasty thing that you do here. Frankly, Mr. Speaker, there isn't that much in here for my district, but I do know that the Anchorage area has some very, very important projects in here. So I guess I can tell you that I will vote yes, but only because I know there's someone upstairs that has a red pencil.
President Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I rose prior to that to say almost exactly the same thing. We are caught in a little bit of a bind, those of us that do appreciate and support genuine efforts to keep the budget under control. I'm one of the ones that voted against that package of seven bills that went to the governor before because I thought it was excessive. I still think that with this bill, it's excessive. Sort of caught in a crack, though. You vote for this bill, you're blamed for all the junk in it. You vote against this bill, you're blamed for not voting for the good projects. So I think that that I am also very grateful that we have someone on the third floor that's going to weed out the junk out of this bill, and therefore I'm going to vote for it in order to support the good projects for Anchorage that are here, one of which is here because of a mistake, and one only. With regard just to the comments of the member from Eagle River, I live in the district that's got the largest garbage dump in Anchorage, and I sympathize with him.
President Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a couple comments, because people had made some comments about the fact that they hoped that when the operating budget came along that I'd be fiscally responsible and that perhaps I should have not reflected that in Finance Committee. And I want to talk about that for a minute, because there's a different way to define fiscal responsibility in my mind than just what we're doing here today. Mr. Speaker, there's no doubt in my mind, and of course the record is very clear, that I have made proposed amendments to the operating budget last year, and I will do the same again this year. I do that, Mr. Speaker, because I believe it's important that this body strongly support education funding, money that goes to our communities to provide a basic education for our children. And I don't think we've adequately done that. I think it's important that we support municipal assistance and revenue sharing to a full level, and we're not adequately doing that, and I've made motions to add money in those areas, and I'll continue to do so, and I can assure you I'll do so when the bill comes to the floor of the House if it's not adequate. I think we should provide adequate funding for child care. And I'm going to stop the list at that point. But that's four major areas, Mr. Speaker, that, yes, I admit I'm very liberal on, and that I've wanted to spend more money on, and that I've made motions to spend money on. But it's not nearly totaled the $229 million that's in this bill that's before us today. Mr. Speaker, it's a matter of priorities. The priorities have to be, are we going to fund a lot of capital projects that aren't going to be on the streets for years and years and perhaps never? Or are we going to fund needed programs to the level that they should be funded, such as the four I mentioned? And I think those who are generally concerned about providing services to people of this state, and those who are genuinely concerned about doing a responsible approach to spending, will support increased revenue sharing and municipal assistance and education funding and child care, and will be very hesitant about supporting $950 million at this point in capital spending with a lot more to come. Speaker, it's not whether you proposed add-ons, it's where you propose them and what your priorities are. And Mr. Speaker, a lot will disagree with me, but I think my priority is in the right area when I support those kinds of programs and services that go to the people of this state. Mr. Speaker, I'd also add for the gentleman from downtown who's in the minority caucus and for others who might be thinking about voting for this, I don't think you have to. Sure, there's some good projects in here, and there's some projects I'd like to support, but I'm not going to at this time because I don't think we've seen the total spending picture yet. It's not clear. There's too many unknowns, despite the fact the majority leader says everything is known. It's not. There's still another chance. There's an operating budget coming along, and in the normal course of events, we usually have a capital budget with that. The wise thing to do is not to pass this up, Mr. Speaker. Why do the same thing now that you did 3 weeks ago? Send up a fragmented spending plan. Wait, get the whole plan together, send it up with the operating budget, take care of the project that was vetoed by mistake then and other worthwhile projects, but be sure you've got enough money to do it. So, Mr. Speaker, I'm going to be voting no on this. And I urge those who said they got to vote yes because there's some worthwhile projects and this is the way to do it and that the governor can redline, sure he can. But the best way to do it is not send any of this right now. Wait till things work themselves out down towards the end of the session and send the entire package at once. Thank you.
Representative Tischer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Through the chair, I'd like to ask the previous speaker from downtown Anchorage a question, if I may, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the representative from downtown Anchorage has mentioned on two or three different occasions in his presentation to this body that there is junk in this bill. And I would ask the question if he could point to me what page and what line item he's talking about, if there'd be at least one piece of junk in here. I'd like to know about it because I may vote against the bill myself if that's the case.
Representative Phillips.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I think on page 21, line 9, there's the garbage at the site selected by the municipality of Anchorage, which is 700 acres, I might add.
Representative Malone.
Speaker, I don't think I can answer the previous question, but I've got one of my own, and I don't know if it falls in that category or not, but I'd like to ask a question to whoever may be able to answer it. On page 6, line 19 of the bill, what is a bison drift barrier?
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's a barrier to keep snow from drifting across the road, basically what it is. But the drift barrier is better terminology than fence, and that's exactly what it is. It's a fence to keep the bison, after the range is developed, on the non-developed agricultural parcels of land. Okay? It's a barrier running for 20 miles down the road.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess the representative from the Spinard area has her answer. But I would like to, for a moment, if I may, Mr. Speaker, revert to introduction of guests.
Without objection, we'll revert to introduction of guests. Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaker, there is a friend of mine, other people in the House in Gallery B, and may have been introduced previously this year, but often visits us here in Juneau, and a constituent of mine and Representative Fritz, a former state senator and member of the State Constitutional Convention from Homer, Mr. Yule Kilcher.
Mike, also this body, too. Ready for the question?
Speaker.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A couple comments on the legislation. First of all, I do think that it makes a lot more sense for the legislature to get its whole spending plan together, all of the major items at least, and consider those as a group. We haven't done that yet, and I can't support this legislation for that reason alone. Now, in addition to knowing ourselves where all the pieces of the puzzle are and what size and shape they are and how much money is left over for what and what is not going to be funded for the year, which we don't know now, I think that it's important that the executive, that the governor knows those things too. And so an essential part of closing down a session and developing a budget, of course, is negotiating agreements and the different things that the administration thinks are necessary and the legislature thinks are necessary and so forth. We haven't done that yet. As far as I know, there isn't any agreement or understanding between the executive and the legislature on what the funding levels for anything are going to be this year. And so I think we're kind of spinning our wheels here, and we really should take more time. And on that basis, I can't support this legislation.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 94, pass the House, members may proceed to vote? Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
31 yeas, 5 nays.
The Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 94 has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent the roll call vote on passage committee substitute for Senate Bill 94 Finance. To consider the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please, Representative Miller?
Could we be at ease, Mr. Speaker?
House, please stand at ease. Representative Locker.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration on my vote on committee substitute for Senate Bill 94 Finance.
Representative Barnes.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent to reconsideration on House Bill 94 or Senate Bill 94 be brought up at this time.
House, please stand at ease.
Mr. Speaker, I noticed that somebody placed a call on the House.
Yes.
I had a note from Mr. Copeland. In fact, I was going to mention under unfinished business that he had a doctor's appointment and that would therefore be excused. As a matter of fact, Mr. Speaker, I should mention that he had to leave for a 4:15 doctor's appointment, so it should be reflected from that point on.
Will the clerk please reflect that from 4:15 on? We're still absent one member, Representative Cato. Representative Winty?
Mr. Speaker, the motion is to bring up the reconsideration this time?
Yes, it takes a two-thirds vote to...
I clearly do not think there is a pending need to do that at this time, but I think under the circumstances, and I hope we're all aware of that, I would urge the members to support the motion.
Representative Herbert? Are you ready for the question?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Locker?
Would someone share with me what the circumstances are?
Representative Miller?
Mr. Speaker, as a courtesy to the minority yesterday, you carried over the calendar at my request, and as an exchange courtesy, I indicated to you, and this is certainly not a reflection on the two members that belong to the Republican minority because they weren't party to or aware of our conversation, but I indicated to you that as a courtesy to you, we would not bring up reconsideration. Thus, this bill would reach finality on this floor on the same day as if it had been considered yesterday and had been reconsidered today. And that's the event.
Representative Locker, do you wish the floor?
Yes, it would be inappropriate for me to withdraw my motion because the majority leader is behind me. She'd have to withdraw hers first, then
okay.
I would withdraw.
Representative Barnes?
I move and ask unanimous consent. I've be allowed to withdraw my motion to bring up the reconsideration of committee substitute for Senate Bill 94 Finance at this time.
Objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Locker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wish to withdraw my request for a reconsideration of committee substitute for Senate Bill 94 Finance.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Citation honoring Little Norway Festival by Representatives Winty and McBride and Senator Ziegler.
Representative Winty.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the citation.
Your objection? Hearing none, the citation is adopted. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Citation honoring Lutheran Eskimo missions by Representatives Fuller, M.M. Miller, Adams, and Hayes, and Senator Ferguson.
Representative Miller. Oh, excuse me. Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the citation be approved.
Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I forgot to ask unanimous consent that I be shown as a sponsor of this.
Is there objection to the motion to adopt and the motion to add Representative Vasca as a co-sponsor to the citation honoring Lutheran Eskimo missions? Hearing none, the citation will reflect that Representative Vasca is a co-sponsor, and it is adopted. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar? Representative Duncan? Yes, surely. Representative, will you please read the next item on today's calendar?
Citation honoring Alaska Elks Lodge number 420 by Representatives Cato Fuller and M.M. Miller.
Representative Duncan?
Speaker, I'd like to be shown as a co-sponsor. Move and ask unanimous consent. I'm shown as a co-sponsor on this citation.
Without objection, so order. Representative Cato?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move the adoption citation. Ask unanimous consent.
Objection. Hearing none, the citation is adopted. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Citation honoring Captain Stan Schaefer by Senators Kurtula, Eliason, and Mulcahy.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the citation and ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is adopted. This brings us to the end of today's calendar and unfinished business. Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Pessinger be excused from the call of the House April the 23rd.
Is there objection? Hearing none, Representative Pestinger is excused as requested. Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Bussell be excused from the call of the House from 4 p.m. Thursday, April the 19th, till plain time, April the 23rd.
Is there objection? Hearing none, Representative Bussell is excused as requested. Further unfinished business? Representative Herman?
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration on my vote on H.G.R. 76.
Notice of reconsideration has been given by Representative Herman for her vote on H.J.R. 76. I have one House Standing Committee report and one Special Committee report that I'd like to deal with. Representative Barnes, would you make a motion to move back up the calendar to deal with reports of standing committees and reports of special committees?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent. We move back up the committee, the calendar for reports of special and standing committees.
Is there objection? Hearing none. So ordered. Representative Gall?
We have a brief at ease.
House, please stand at ease.
Reviewed the qualifications of the following named individuals who have been nominated by the governor to serve on the Board of Examiners in Optometry: John A. Dembski, D.O. of Soldotna, and Robert D. O'Connell, D.O. of Kenai. Members of the Hess Committee have signed below indicating their individual recommendations to the House. Members recommending to confirm: Tischer, Euling, Martin, Pestinger, Davis, and Gall. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
The Conference Committee, with limited powers of free conference, which has had committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 7 Finance relating to motor vehicles, and the Senate Committee substitute for the bill under consideration, is unable to reach agreement on amendments and requests that the committee be discharged and a new conference committee appointed, signed by the Senate Chairman Eliason and by the House Chairman Hayes.
At this time, I'll discharge the Conference Committee on House Bill 7, the House conferees. This brings us back to unfinished business. Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Winty be excused from the call of the House tomorrow.
Is there objection? Hearing none, Representative Winty is excused as requested. Announcement of committee meetings. Representative Abood.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Under announcements, but not necessarily committee meetings, if
all
I
right.
May. I'd like to remind the body tonight, and it is a little late, but tonight is the second annual Montezuma's Revenge, put on by the State Affairs Committee, not at state expense. It's all personal expense. You're all invited. This is a nonpartisan situation. And for those that are driving, there will be soft drinks. And for those that are walking and running home, there will be other refreshments. The other one I'd like to announce is this. Mr. Speaker, I've had it. I just can't handle it anymore. I've been tripped over and jostled and fallen on and pushed up and shoved down and pulled back and covered with notes during my meditation. I've been stepped on, wrapped on the shoulder, shoved out of the way, and numerous other harassments to include get out of the way. I've heard that too. Now, Mr. Speaker, in addition, the body probably would be better served if the members during the vote could stay alert, and perhaps some other arrangements could be accomplished for certain members after this particular speech. But I ask you to take under serious consideration that I be allowed to change seats with the writer and the novelist on my immediate right.
45 delivered notes today. 45. With people coming in back of me. Him getting up. I mean, I've had it. I've had stuff spread all over my desk. I keep passing them. Mr. Speaker, I can't take it anymore, and I'd like to have you take that under advisement.
Further announcements?
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There'll be a House Democratic caucus tomorrow morning at 9:30. Not at 9 o'clock, but at 9:30.
Representative Miller.
Reminder, Mr. Speaker, that the governor's prayer breakfast will be held tomorrow morning, Thursday morning, at 7:30 a.m. If the governor's office is still open, which I suspect it might be, the tickets are available at the very front desk, and if they are not open, I'm sure they can pay at the door. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Special orders. Representative Winty.
Request the privilege of the floor under special orders for remembrance.
You have the floor, Representative Winty.
Mr. Speaker, the family of Representative McBride has asked that in lieu of flowers, donations be made to the Jack McBride Memorial Scholarship Fund. The scholarship fund is being established by the Ketchikan Chamber of Commerce in the memory of Representative McBride. The scholarships will be made to Alaska students interested in fisheries and timber careers. Donations should be mailed to the Jack McBride Memorial Scholarship Fund, care of the Ketchikan Chamber of Commerce, Box 5957. That's Box 5957, Ketchikan, 99901. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Lindar.
Mr. Speaker, may I have the privilege of the floor to speak about gas?
You have the floor, Representative Lindar.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, many of the members today received a personalized letter complaining about a bill that I introduced, and I thought I might respond to that since they didn't send me a copy of the letter. I did have to get it from somebody else. Mr. Speaker, I introduced a bill early on last year related to public utilities, and the reason I did that, Mr. Speaker, is that I had a nagging fear that the state of Alaska, and particularly the people of the bush, were being ripped off by certain practices of a handful of public utilities. I think my worst fears are all coming true, and that in fact we have a substantial problem here, which is the equivalent of a major income tax on the people of Alaska. I'd like to take just a minute or two to tell the members how I see things and why I think we need to take this situation very seriously. If you ask yourselves, what's a public utility? A public utility is a monopoly which the state grants to a company. It gives them a franchise. It guarantees them no competition. And in return for that monopoly, we say you can't overcharge the public. All you get is enough, you can charge a price to cover your costs, to make a fair rate of return. That's what you get. We set up commissions to regulate that. In this state, it's the APUC. They look at the cost to make sure they're fair, they make sure the rate of return is appropriate, and they generally are allegedly supposed to be looking out after the interests of consumers. But, Mr. Speaker, every study that's ever been done about a regulatory commission has always come to the same conclusion. No matter what good reasons they're set up, after a while, they get taken over by the commission. Regulatees. The people who are being regulated end up taking over the commission one way or another. Because they're the only ones who attend the meetings, they're the only ones who really care, they're the only ones who try to get their members on. And I think maybe that's what's happening to the Alaska Public Utilities Commission, Mr. Speaker, and I think something needs to be done about it. I first heard that we had a real problem here from a public utilities lawyer in Washington, D.C., who, just in a passing, gratuitously comment, said that he'd looked at a lot of public utility cases in his life, but the worst ripoffs in the United States were in the state of Alaska. As a result of that, I put in a bill, House Bill 220. It's the bill that the gas company man is complaining about. I'd like to just tell you the things that they're doing that they don't like. One of the standard ways by which a company takes excessive prices out of an economy or businesses or people is to charge high prices. One of the things that they don't like is the statement in here that you can't charge costs that are in excess of the actual cost of the products. You can't charge for services that exceed the value of such services. They don't like that. They don't like rates being demanded that are in excess of an amount equal to the paid-in capital and retained earnings. And, Mr. Speaker, that's what a Public Utilities Commission is all about, is to prevent excess costs from being factored into the utilities prices. The gimmick that goes on, that's going on right now, that is a tax on the people that may well be tens or hundreds of millions of dollars a year, is an outside holding company sends a bill to the inside company, which then pays it, and then goes to the commission and says we have higher costs. Every time we pay higher telephone costs or electric costs or gas costs, because we have a Public Utilities Commission that is not doing its job, the state of Alaska is being taxed. When we first had the first hearings on this, the Public Utilities Commission came in and said, don't worry about it. We're taking care of all this. We don't let this happen. They gave a list of technical imperfections with the bill. We cleaned those all up, every one of them. Then an interesting thing happened. They came back when we had the hearing in finance. They said, well, still all these problems. Don't worry about it. We really take care of it. I really point out this body one thing. If they were really taking care of it, if they really were not letting these excessive charges be rolled into these costs, then why are they writing the letter? Why are they writing the letter protesting this bill? If they were really clean, this bill wouldn't bother them all, at all, because this is current conventional practice. The fact that they protest suggests that we've got a gas problem and that we need some legislative roll-aids. Otherwise, we're going to have people in this state ripped off. And I think that in the days and years ahead, we're going to have to come to a conclusion here of whether we're going to represent people of the state of Alaska or we're going to represent a handful of people who live outside Alaska, own shares in a handful of holding companies which hold utilities up here and which are taking advantage of the state of Alaska. I think everybody better look at their campaign contributions, better look at their support, and better figure out that they're Alaskans and they don't represent Alaska, they don't represent outsiders. I didn't really think that this company would come forward, but now that I realize that we have a problem with them, I certainly will look into them further. I noticed that they've got new letterhead. They now call themselves NSTAR Natural Gas Company. For the members who aren't familiar with NSTAR, up until a few months ago, this was known as the Alaska Interstate Corporation of Houston, Texas. Not Alaska Interstate, but Alaska Interstate of Houston, Texas, and that's exactly how they had it on their letterhead. They're ripping us off, I think, as evidenced by their letter. Thank you.
During the recent special order, I received a communication that, so without objection, I'd like to ask Representative Barnes to make a motion to return back up the daily order of business once again to read a communication.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent. We move back up the calendar to communications.
Your objection? Will the clerk please read it? Anything received under communications?
This is a memorandum to Representative Mitch Abood from Speaker Joe Hayes, and the subject is the seating arrangement. In compliance with your request of this date concerning the position of your seat in the chamber, I hereby, for the remainder of the second session of the 13th Alaska Legislature, assign you to sit in what is known as the 40th seat, that being the vacant one at the rear of the chamber to my right of the aisle.
Object.
Question.
This change will be effective immediately.
Representative Duncan?
Mr. Speaker.
I believe I'm the junior member with the two here.
Representative Abood?
Thank you. I've been looking forward to this for 4 years, sir.
Excuse me, Representative Duncan?
Speaker, I promise not to send Representative Adams any more notes.
Representative Clarkson?
I understand that's the one without the microphone?
Yes. It seems, Representative Abood, that My judgment may have been an error, so I'll ask the clerk to withdraw that. Representative Abood, do you wish the floor?
Yes, sir. Only one statement. Ask and you shall receive.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent. The House stand in adjournment.
Excuse me, Representative Barnes. I'm sorry. There was a special order of business.
I'm sorry. I did not know about that.
The motion wasn't made. That wasn't completed. So, Representative Miller.
Speaker, be at ease, ma'am.
House, please stand at ease. Any citations or resolutions?
Citation in memoriam Jack McBride by Representatives M.M. Miller, Wente, Clarkson, Davis, Duncan, Flood, Gall, Kopanen, Larson, Malone, Zemanski, Vaska, and Zharoff.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First of all, I'd like to move that the citation be taken up as a special order of business, and I would like to move that all members of the House be shown as sponsors of the resolution.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Miller, would you like, would the clerk please read the citation?
Mr. Speaker, that was the motion I was going to make, so I think Representative Wente made,
okay. Thank
make
you.
The motion.
Will the clerk please read the citation?
Citation in memoriam, Jack McBride.
Representative,
all members of the House.
Representative Wente.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the memoriam citation.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is adopted. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent the House stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Thursday, April 19, 1984.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House stands adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.